What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Married to Reality. I'm your co-host, John, here with my wife and co-host, geez, the Barney to my Fred, the Rocky to my Bullwinkle, the Thelma to my Louise. It's the one and only Teresa.
Hello, everyone. How's everyone doing? And I sure am, and beyond.
Yeah, do you think Bojo... Do you think he was aware that he was just naming friendship duos?
No, I think he just named...
his favorite TV shows?
Yeah, the American TV shows he knows.
His favorite cartoons, his favorite Saturday morning cartoons. I think he was trying to make this grand gesture of like, oh, we're two peas in a pod, we're thick as thieves, we're Barney and Fred. It didn't translate. I think he was trying to make it a romantic statement.
He should have said Fred and Vilma.
Yeah. I was just about to scream Wilma, and then I realized we're 1 minute into this podcast and I need my voice, so I'm not going to yell that. But yeah, you know how hard it is not to scream Wilma? Oh,
I love the Flintstones. I love the cartoon. I love the movies with the actual actors.
Yeah.
Very, very good.
Yeah, he needed to go, you're the Pam to my Jim.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know how popular The Office is, the American Office in Croatia. Okay, I'm going to go with not popular.
You're the Rose to my Jack.
Okay.
Okay. But this whole Rocky to my Bullwinkle, I would have packed my bags right then, Vanya.
Well, you could also spin in a way that you want your partner, your husband, your wife to be your bestie too, your best friend.
I completely agree. But that's not what you want to hear.
True. And
if you're Vanya, that's the last thing you want to hear.
True.
You want to hear, I'll never let go, Vanya. I'll never let go. Not, I really want to scream Wilma. I really do.
I mean, go for it.
No, I can't.
Wilma!
Nailed it. It's like someone saying Wilma and then not being able to scream Wilma is like someone saying Adrian and then not doing like, Sylvester Stallone and Adrian.
I don't understand.
It's another yelling of a female name. I can't do it.
I don't get it. Or like Michael and Angela.
Michael! That one I can do. Yeah. Woo! All right. What an episode.
It was a good episode.
This is a really good episode. I'm pretty invested in Joe and Magda.
Yes.
And Bojo and Vanya is delivering.
Oh, yeah.
Surprised to see our friend Renee. Still gracing our screen.
That was the last time.
Yeah.
I think goodbye, Renee.
Goodbye, Renee.
It's about time because she needs to check herself into a mental institution and calm down.
Something.
Yeah. Or just lock herself with the chickens, whatever works for her. She needs to let poor Chidi alone.
Yes. Yes. So, all right. What an episode. We'll talk about it from top to bottom in a moment. Before we do real quick, we're on Patreon and Supercast. We're rounding out 90 Day the other way over there. I believe the tell-all is next.
Yes, and so it should be.
The tell-all is tomorrow, right?
I hope so.
Yeah.
It should be.
Yeah.
We've been watching so much 90 and other things, just watching for fun that I'm sometimes confused. But I think... You're right.
A little topsy-turvy. Yeah. So that's exciting. The other way, tell-all. And then we have 90 Day The Last Resort.
Yes.
Coming to a Patreon and Supercast near you. So get on there if you're not on there already. Check it out. Patreon.com/MarriedToReality. MarriedToReality.Supercast.com. Of course, it's ad-free at all levels. There's none of this. We cut out this housekeeping from the Patreon. Patreon and Supercast. Patreon has a chat feature, which is fun just for the members. Mm-hmm. It's a good time. Monthly bonus on the Family Affair level. Good times all around.
Good times.
Check it out. Patreon, Supercast. Also follow us on Instagram at Married to Reality Pod. Message us over there. Call in. Share your thoughts on this season, on other seasons, on what's going on in your world. We'd love to hear from you guys.
Love to hear.
So message us over there at Married to Reality Pod. Also, make sure you're following the podcast wherever you're listening right now. It's so easy to do. Just look down and smash that follow button.
Guys, smash it like it's as hard as Bojo's tall friend because he's much better for Vanya.
But is he hot?
No, but there was nothing else that's hot. All his friends are hotter than Bojo. All
right.
That tall dude was definitely into Vanya. All
right.
He was definitely better looking than Bojo.
Okay.
And I would love to see them together.
All right.
Because Bojo is such a loser.
Oh, boy.
And Vanya doesn't even know that he's such a loser. Oh, that's the worst thing.
She's we'll fine. Get there. No, she's fine. We'll get there. All right. Smashing is as hot as that tall, tall man. And last but not least, if you haven't left a review, please do. You guys know we're suckers for a little love. Thanksgiving is coming up. We would be so thankful if you left a review. And if you leave a 5-star review, we'll read it on this podcast for the world to hear.
Yes.
All right. That's the business. Before we get into this episode, what do you say we do a little 90-day by the way?
Let's hear it. Clearly, I didn't help you once again. I don't even know why I need to mention it.
Well, here's the deal, Theresa. I think people are starting to pick up on the fact that you are of zero help for my by the ways. And they're bringing in the big guns.
Good.
We're getting some hot tea over here.
Let's hear it.
All right. By the way, number one. The cult saga continues.
Ooh, okay. Hit me and us.
I have some bombshell stuff from an inside source, Teresa. Got some hot tea.
I don't even think you told me.
No, because you're not helping me. I'm not. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Got a lot of itchy backs around here.
I'm growing your child. You should be scratching my back all the time.
Got a lot of itchy backs around here. That's all I'm going to say. So, okay. Our legal team says we need to rate this story A for allegedly. So there you go. That's the rating, A for allegedly. But this is a trustworthy source. So allegedly, and this goes way back. We'll start early and then we'll catch you up to date. So
all right.
Allegedly, Colt, while he was with Vanessa, had been begging her to have sex with other guys so that Colt could watch. Guys, I wish we were filming this podcast because Teresa was just about to take a big sip of her drink and then immediately put her drink down and snapped her head back and looked at me when I said Cole wanted to watch Vanessa bang other guys.
What a perv.
Say, different strokes for different folks.
Oh, for sure.
That's apparently what he wanted. I don't think Vanessa was too into it, but eventually she was like, okay, if that's what you want. But Colt had follow-up ultimatums. Primarily costumes. She wanted Vanessa to dress up in certain costumes during these encounters, and he would say what those costumes.
So what about the third guy? Did he have to dress up too?
I don't know. I'll have to talk to my source about that.
But okay.
We all know things didn't end well between them, right? They went their separate ways. Things tend not to go well once your girl agrees to bang other guys. It was only a matter of time before they split. But when they did, Colt traveled to Brazil to be with another girl.
What?
Mm-hmm. In Brazil, he also apparently convinced this girl to bang other guys in front of him. This is his kink, I guess. This is his fetish.
Interesting.
So if that wasn't enough, he's with this girl. He's having her bang other guys. He wants her to be on the other way with him. So that is why he was in Brazil, living in Brazil. Because he's like, oh, let's do the other way. We could be on the other way.
Oh.
Okay. But while he's there, ding-a-ling-a-ling, phone rings. Hello, who is it? 90 Day House. That they reached out to him and said, you want to be on 90 Day House? Come to Mexico. So he dropped this girl like a hot potato, hopped on the first flight to Mexico, where he connects with Courtney.
Courtney.
So they are conspiring. They think, well, what if we have a little relationship? This could be mutually beneficial. We could each play this and get onto some spinoffs. So they started to explore that, a little relationship between the two of them. While they're in Mexico, Colt's drinking. He falls. This is where he breaks his leg.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so now I got a broken leg. He's got to leave. Leaves Mexico, goes to Courtney's house to heal. And while he's there, that Brazilian girl who he dropped like a hot potato to go on 90 Day House had been tracking his location. She had his Find My iPhone or whatever, tracks his location, sees he's with another girl.
How do you see that he's with another girl?
Well,
he's
in Orlando. Why are you in Orlando? You don't live in Orlando. Whose house are you at? Where are you staying?
Yeah, I mean, you can stay with a friend, but sure.
I don't think Colt's the best liar, if you ask me. But so finds out Colt and Courtney sitting in a tree, K-S-S-I-N-G. She gets upset, but it doesn't scare Colt off. Now he's trying to convince Courtney to do happily ever after with him. He's just, this guy's just bouncing around hot potato, different 90 day spin-offs.
How would you do happily ever after with Courtney if you've never been in a relationship that we've seen?
Yeah. There was talk of single life. Why don't we do single life?
Okay.
So it could have been between that, happily ever after. I think he's just trying to find the best chance he has at being on TV. Unfortunately for Colt, Courtney's like, I see what's going on here. You're just trying to stay on TV, stay relevant. So she got rid of him.
Okay.
And that's where we're at now. That's present day. Just recently, he was there healing. And now, present day, she's like, see you later. I don't like what's happening. Good luck.
Didn't you say, or didn't I see it somewhere, that he might be living in Canada with Debbie and Debbie's BF?
Ooh, I'll have to check with my source.
Because I feel like, I wonder what he does for a living. Because I think once upon a time, he was working as in IT or something with computer.
Something
with
video games.
And then 90 Day happened, and he's been on... He got such a bad rap, thanks to himself and all these spin-offs, that I think it would be hard for him to come back and like work for a corporation or so, because it's just everyone knows who he is.
Yeah.
And it's not like, oh, Colt, yeah, nice guy. It's like, oh, Colt. Like, yikes.
Yeah. So that's where we're at. I'm leaning in. I'm intrigued to see how this plays out. I hope he is featured on that 90 Day House. I would like to see.
I know. Listen, I would love to watch, because it's been a while since we've seen him. So a little update on a crazy person.
Sure.
I'm always here for it. But yeah, he's trying too hard. Don't do fake relationships, you guys. Like,
yeah.
We watch it for the real stuff. We really do. And I believe that most couples on 90 Day are real.
Yeah.
So don't fuck it up. I'm glad that Courtney was like, nope.
Yeah. Again, all allegedly, but that's what my source says. So I'm sharing with my friends. Okay.
All right.
By the way, number two, I think after that first story, we could repent. We need to repent. We need to go to the confessional. We need some Jesus in our life.
Little cleansing palette.
Little.
Little strawberry ice cream.
Little amuse-bouche. Yeah. So, another podcast has been born out of the 90 Day world. This one is not a reality recap show. In fact, it's quite the opposite.
What's the opposite of a reality recap?
Well, remember Misha and Nicola?
Yes.
Who could forget, right?
Oh, it's a Jesus pod.
Misha has launched her own Jesus pod. Big JP.
Are they still together?
I don't know.
Don't say JP, it's Jurassic Park.
Yeah. So she launched a religious podcast. It's called Surrendered Life with Misha Johnson.
Okay.
Colt Johnson.
Huh.
No relation, I don't think.
I hope not.
Here's the synopsis. If you're looking for no-holds-barred Christian commentary, dedicated to Catholic truths amidst today's endless array of fake news and diabolical disorientation, then A Surrender Life with Misha Johnson is for you.
Is this about conspiracy theories?
Well, depends who's asking. There's 19 episodes so far.
Oh, wow.
I haven't listened to a single one, although I kind of want to, because here's episode one. It's titled, What Does It Mean to Have a Spiritual Awakening?
Okay.
All right. Listen to find out. But episode two is Misha Johnson's personal spiritual awakening story, part one.
Oh,
so okay. It's a two banger of her spiritual awakening. And do you want to hear the synopsis of this episode?
Spiritual awakening part two?
Part one.
Oh, sure.
Okay. Misha Johnson, a budding TV personality, was not raised with any religion. But because of a mystifying and somewhat terrifying spiritual awakening in her living room, she ended up walking away from her TV news career to pursue God and the truth. Listen to part one of Johnson's personal spiritual awakening testimony as she takes you through the scary details of what happened that fateful day while vacuuming her living room and ultimately transforming her life from an agnostic to traditional Latin Rite Roman Catholic.
I remember she talked about it in the show.
it's been my excuse ever since when Teresa's like, John, can you vacuum the house? I'm like, Teresa, do you really want me to risk having a spiritual awakening? I think it'd be better off if you vacuumed or we paid someone to.
Sure.
Quite the podcast, though, if you're interested in checking out Surrendered Life. Look for it wherever you listen to podcasts.
I wonder if she's still in Nicola.
I feel like they might be.
They might be. It was an interesting couple, but I think the big J really was holding them together.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, there you go. That's 90 Day, by the way. That's what's happening in the world, 90 Day.
Nice.
Now, let's do it. The reason we're here, Sunday night, 90 Day Fiancé, before the 90 days, season 7, episode 12.
Let's start with Veya and Sunny.
Yeah. Ooh. Well, Veya said, we needed a cute romantic night last night. And Sunny said, we tried our best to break the bed.
We banged 3 times.
3 times.
I think this was Sunny's first time because she made it sound like he was a virgin before.
Oh, I didn't pick up on that. But the way they spoke about their evening was quite different.
There was a little comment about that Sunny surprisingly knew what he was doing or something like that. That was like a very, very quick comment that I was like, oh, this was his first time banging.
Huh. I heard, and now that you're saying that, maybe I misnamed, misattributed this because I wrote, Sunny was the man, Veya was the passenger.
Well, he tried. I think he watched some porn before, for sure, to learn. But here's my issue with Sunny, right?
Okay.
He's a Muslim. He hangs out within the Muslim community. He goes, he prays. All his friends are Muslim. Yet he does things as if he was non-religious, right?
Sure.
Which is fine. And I think if it works for him, that's great. You are sleeping with a girl on TV or shouting together. All the things that you were forbidden to do. You see her basically, she's naked on TV with some blurred boobs. You're fine with it. Well, then if it comes down to it and you guys somehow make it, which I don't think you will because of Rory. We'll get there. If you somehow make it, you cannot ask her to convert. You cannot even expect it from her because you didn't show her a small piece of, oh, I'm very serious about my religion. You're breaking all the freaking rules.
I like this take. I see where you're coming from. I would flip it and say maybe there's actually a chance she would convert because he's such a reformed Muslim.
It's not a reform. It's just, I think he is, maybe he goes and he prays for his father or because he feels like he has to, yet that's not what he believes. Because look what he's been doing. They basically almost banged in the pool. We see them naked in the shower. They talk about sex. She wears belly shirts and other wild clothes. And he never made even a tiniest comment about any of it. And so I hope that he would be fine with her not becoming a Muslim if it came down to it, because he literally has zero issue with, and she can do anything. The only issue he has with is Rory.
It's a great point, but I've always said there's different flavors of religion, and I think people subscribe to different levels of it. And so maybe he just dips his toe in, and that's what he's comfortable with, and he wouldn't even want to get any more extreme than that. But the idea of abandoning it or saying he's not a Muslim or converting to another religion is non-negotiable. So he's just like, I would like for you to convert. We're not going to be super conservative about it, but we will have that label. I do see where you're coming from, but I could also just see him saying, yeah, like it's Muslim light.
No, if I was Veya, I would be like, absolutely not, because you didn't show me anything that would make me feel like I need to. Like, okay. If his dad watches the show, and if his dad is, his dad is Muslim, I'm sure that's why he prays and does all that, his dad would probably be like, don't even talk to me ever again.
You could be right.
So
here's what I'd what I didn't like. So now that they've banged, Vea wants Sonny to meet Rory. And I'm like, boner kill. But
total.
Aside from that, this felt very controlling and manipulative. Like, Vea thinks, oh, well, now that I banged you, I've proven to you that I'm all about you. So you shouldn't have any concerns about meeting Rory because I just banged you. And doesn't that make you feel secure? And it's like, maybe, but it also feels like you banged him just so that now he would go meet Rory. And it feels control. I don't know. For some reason, it feels controlling.
Also, the timing is like you just banged 3 times during the night. I still believe that was his first time, second and third. He's probably on cloud 9. And instead of you guys like go to brunch, go to a nice breakfast, maybe meet Rory tomorrow. First thing you ask is like, so I want you to meet Rory today because we're on good terms now. So it's a good time. It's like, it's the worst freaking time.
Well, yeah, he's in the fog of sex still. And now she's trying to kind of convince him and jujitsu him into doing something he doesn't want to do while he's still in the fog of sex.
Yeah, but he essentially agrees.
Yeah.
He's like, sure, I'll do it. So they're on the way to meet Rory, and Sonny is very nervous. And Vea's like, well, don't be there. Just look at him as a friend, not as my ex, but that's all he knows. They're not friends. He is your ex. I get it. You have a different relationship, and that's fine. But Sonny doesn't know that.
Yeah, first and foremost, he's your ex, and a very serious one. They had a real serious relationship. And so, yeah, Sonny is just all hitting him. The sex is starting to wear off. He's kind of like snapping back to reality. And he's spiraling a little bit in the cab. Just, I don't know if I'm ready for this. I've never done this before. And it's like, yeah, no shit. You've never met your partner's ex because it's absurd to ask someone to do that. Like if you ran into your partner's ex at a bar or something, you deal with it. And maybe you try to avoid or you leave or you confront it head on. But you never are like, hey, you want to go meet my ex?
Yeah.
No, because the answer is no.
For sure. If we ran into your ex at the bar, would you introduce me? Would you talk to her? Would you ignore her? What would you do?
That's a good question. At this point, I don't know. I would probably try to be an adult and just be like, hi, here's Theresa, my wife.
Huh.
I think so.
Yeah. I would be fine with it.
She would probably throw a drink in my face, but otherwise.
Okay.
But I don't think I would. I definitely wouldn't hide you. And I don't think I would want.
Of course you wouldn't hide me. Are you crazy?
No, but I'm meaning more in the sense of I wouldn't try to like, oh, we got to get out of here. Like, I would be like, all right, well, we're here. They're here. Let's be adults about it.
Yeah.
Plus, it's been like 10 years. So.
Yeah, that's true. We've been together for that long.
If we had been together for like a year or two, I might be like, let's get out of here. But
yeah, I mean, I don't really have an ex besides my high school boyfriend who cheated on me on my 18th birthday. What a slut. But I feel like if we ran into him, I would be like, hey, I wouldn't even like think about it because it's such a young romance that we were breaking up every 2 weeks. It wasn't a relationship really. I would be like, oh, hey, it's my husband, John.
Yeah.
All right. But yes, I would not be like, hey, do you wanna hang out with my ex?
Yeah.
That would be awkward.
Let's talk about this meeting because I found it somewhat amusing. They meet up at like this bar. Rory is shooting pool. And to me, he's just trying to emit this tough guy energy.
I think he's just also feels like it's awkward. I think it's easier if you're doing something than if you're sitting and just doing nothing.
I don't know. I think he was going hyper masculine. Even what he was wearing, it was.
Well, what was he wearing?
It was military green. I mean, compared to Sonny's pink polo, you have Rory here who's getting uber masculine, shooting pool, competition, man on man, me versus you.
I don't think pool isn't masculine.
It's not, but getting competitive, I think, is.
I really think he just did it because I think he knew that it's going to be an uncomfortable situation. It's better to do an activity.
But yes and no. When You're basically competing for a woman.
I don't think Rory's competing for her.
He's competing.
Oh, he's not. But he knows that she has issues. They've been through a lot. I think that's why he's still there for you. They know each other families. Okay. But
Sonny thinks they're competing. If nothing else, Sonny thinks they're competing.
Well, here's what was comical in a way. He said, you can tell that Rory's probably 10 years older than Sonny, or at least his maturity level is way somewhere else than Sonny's. Like, Sonny acts like a child because, again, awkward situation, his first girlfriend. Now he's in this situation with her ex that he knows how serious it was. So I feel bad for Sonny because his immaturity is like really coming out. And I'm not just talking about him wearing a pink shirt.
Yeah. Well, it's an uncomfortable situation. I thought, an activity is good, but the competitive aspect maybe a little seems confrontational. But they start chatting and Rory is like, oh, you guys been having fun? And Sonny's like, yeah, well, we're trying. Are you having fun? And Rory says he's just been sightseeing. And then Sonny just gets into it. He's like, we've been battling. So much fighting, but also love.
He's like, so much fight and love. And Rory apologizes for causing some of the fights. Like, I do like Rory in this instance when he's like, yeah, I'm sorry. It's probably me being here. But again, Rory didn't invite himself on the trip. He's just being a nice friend. I do think that Vea has some deep, deep issues that she's not even telling us about. The surface level issues she shared with us, or surface level, what we know so far, are some deeper issues. The way she grew up, the way her brother died, the loss of a baby, right?
Totally.
I think there is more. And I think that's why Rory is there, because he knows it.
That's fair. That's fair. It doesn't make Sonny in the wrong, though. I think what he feels is understandable.
Yes. So he says, well, we want to focus on our relationship. So would you, if Vea tell you to leave, would you just leave? And Rory says, yeah, if she tells me she's fine, she feels comfortable, of course I'm going to go.
And immediately Vea is like, I don't want him to go home.
So this is on her.
It's 1,000,000% on her. Could Rory have said, no, I don't think it's smart for me to go. Maybe you find someone else. Yes. But no, the blame is solely on Vea.
Oh, for sure.
And she's like, I don't want him to go. I'm scared of the fight. Worried there may be more fights. And Sonny makes a great point. He's like, yeah, we fought because of him. So you're worried about a fight. So you want him to be here. But the reason we fought is because he's here.
Yeah, Sonny is kind of over this because he turns to Rory and says, you know, you see, she's choosing you. She's here for you. She's choosing you. And this is just too much for me. And he gets mad and he leaves again.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel bad for Sonny, but I do feel bad for Rory too, because I don't think he wants to be in this situation. I think Vea needs to make some decisions. And the decision is whether, okay, you feel good about Sonny, tell Rory to leave. And if things with Sonny don't work out, well, you just leave South Africa and you're going to get on the plane by yourself.
But so here's what you do then. If you're Vea and you truly want that safety net of Rory, treat him as a safety net. He's there. Keep him in the hotel room. Have him go sightsee if he wants to sightsee. But to set up this meeting, to try to be like Barney, Fred, and Wilma, it's not going to work. Like, Sonny doesn't want to be friends with Rory.
But Barney never wanted Wilma.
I know. I'm just, you know, it's not going to be the three of you hanging out. That's not going to happen.
True.
And so if what you're saying is real, and I believe it is, Vea, that you want this safety net, treat him as a safety net. Don't invite him in to be the third in your thruple.
I get it. I think, and you're right, but I think in Vea's mind, it's like, well, I'm friends with Rory. If Sonny was friends with Rory and the three of us are friends, it would be amazing. But
yeah,
it's not the time and the place.
Yeah. All right. It is the time and the place to take a break, I think. Let's
take a break before we go to Poland.
Let's take a quick break, tell you about our sponsors for this episode. And when we come back, we'll head to Poland. All right. We'll be back in a second.
Hey guys, If you are feeling a little off lately, like night sweats, low energy, or just generally not feeling like you, trust me, you're not alone. There are over 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. Rent-free. Sounds like some 90-dayers we know, am I right? But seriously, these sneaky disruptors are hiding everywhere. In our food, water, air, even our skincare. And they're messing with how we feel. The good news? We don't have to just live with it anymore thanks to Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth, designed to support optimal hormone levels and help you feel your best at any stage of life. Let me tell you what makes this stuff so amazing. It's powered by adaptogens, those science-backed, nature-inspired herbal extracts that help your body adapt to stress, whether it's occasional bloating, mild mood swings, sleepless nights, or those dreaded hot flashes. Hormone Harmony has you covered. And here is the cherry on top. Happy Mammoth is committed to quality. With over 30,000 rave reviews, women everywhere are saying things like, I feel like myself again. And trust me, that's the kind of energy we all need. Oh, and fun fact, this stuff is flying off the shelves. A bottle is sold every 24 seconds, so don't wait. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MARRIED at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code MARRIED for 15% off today. It's time to start feeling like yourself again with Happy Mammoth.
And we're back.
Hello, Jonathan.
Hello, Teresa. How are things?
Things are good.
Got a hot take on this next couple.
All right. You want to tell us now?
Yeah, not even a hot take on the couple, but just on this drama.
Do that. Tell us.
Joe and Magda. So Joe overslept. Womp, womp, right? We thought, did he get cold feet? Did something happen? Does he have a secret life he ran off to? No, he supposedly overslept because the producers were knocking on his door for an hour and he finally answered with like moisturizer on his face or shaving cream or something. Something about Mary.
Yeah.
I feel like this is prefabricated. I don't buy it. And here's why. How many times have we flown to Europe?
Many.
How many times has our flight been in the morning?
Never.
Exactly.
Although from Florida.
He's flying out of West Palm or like a major airport.
He's flying out of West Palm is a small airport.
Miami.
He's flying out of Fort Lauderdale.
International.
Fort Lauderdale is the biggest airport down there.
So that's why I don't buy it. Every time we've ever flown international, it's been like a 7 p.m. or 8 p.m. flight.
Well, flying, that's from New York. It depends when he wants to arrive. Like we've flown out of Florida around 1 p.m.
No, we haven't.
Yeah, we have.
Out of Florida?
Yeah. When we flew Florida, Detroit, Vienna, our flight was leaving for Detroit around 1 p.m.
Okay.
Then we got to Detroit, then we had a freaking 3-hour layover, and then we went overseas. But we landed in Vienna at like 7:30 a.m.
Fine. So I'm still standing by it.
Yeah.
If we left at 1 p.m., that means we would have had to leave for the airport at like 10?
Yeah. I mean, I love to sleep too.
True.
I don't think it's that producer driven, to be honest. I think he literally overslept. He probably went out loud the night before. He was nervous. He got drunk at home at 3 a.m., didn't pack, and now he overslept.
Okay. Well, they get him up and he's got 2.5 hours to get to the airport before his flight takes off. He gets on the phone with Magda and this is a little bit why I think it's producer driven. It's because she's reading into the fact that he overslept as like, oh, you're not taking this seriously.
Well, meeting her in a little bit, I can see because one thing I picked up on my Magda is that she's very self-conscious.
Okay.
She has no confidence.
That's not what self... Well, I guess, okay.
She has no self-confidence. She was hurt. She was hurt by guys before. She's still trying to trust them and find the love of her life. I think she's a little naive too. Okay. So for her, any sign is a bad sign.
Okay. And you're right. When we learn about what happened to her, you understand why she's on high alert. And maybe Mac is right about Joe not taking it seriously, because 30 minutes into this ride, he's like, can we turn around? I forgot something. Oh, what you forget? Condoms? A razor? Underwear?
Passport.
Oh, the most important thing. Basically the only thing you need to fly internationally.
I actually do buy it because he seems so scattered. Like, he seems like a person that's just not prepared. He's living his best life. He's selling houses. I think he's on point when it comes to work. But I think when it comes to everything else, he's been living a life like a bachelor. It's like, who cares? I'll pack later. I'll do this later. Like, he is not an organized person. I can tell.
Yeah, no, you're right. But he does. He makes it to the airport and gets through security. 10 minutes till boarding. He gets in there.
You just see him self-filming and running through the airport.
Good thing he wasn't wearing heels.
That's for sure. But he makes it. He gets on the flight and he takes off for Poland.
24 hours earlier.
Classic.
We travel to Poland. We get to meet Magda, 23, at the volleyball court. Forget Bojo. I think she is the pro athlete this season.
Yeah, I mean, she seems to know what she's doing, but that's not her main job. That's her hobby.
Correct, but she looked like she knew what she was doing compared to our friend Bojo.
Yeah, Bojo's lost. We'll get there.
We also get to meet Magda Sweller.
Yeah, so volleyball and Hades are her life.
Nope, Hades, I think.
Hades.
Yeah.
The king of the hill.
King of the aggressive.
It's Hades, actually.
Yeah, and we're thinking, we're trying to figure out what we're going to name the baby, but I think King of the Hell. We'll see if they misbehave. We might nickname. Might get that nickname.
I'm going to say no, and okay. Let's move on.
Okay. Magna is training Hades. I think she...
Hades.
I think it's Hades.
No, it's not. It's Polish. It's Hades. I actually know the reference. Right. Have you ever watched Xena and Hercules?
Not even once.
If you did, you would have known.
All right. Well, Hades, you think?
Hades.
With the body?
Hades.
With the bodice.
Just read it like you need to check. Hades.
I know, but I wrote it down how I want to pronounce it. And I wrote it down H-A-Y-D-E-S.
Well, so that's on you.
I wrote down Hades.
No, that's on you. It's not that. It's Hades.
All right. Well,
okay.
H-Dog is being trained. I feel like Magda could take after you and show that dog. You used to be...
I used to show dogs, yeah. But I only showed my mixed dog.
I don't know how well H-Dog would do because apparently he has quite the temper.
Yeah.
Apparently bit Magda's ex on the penis, as she pronounced it.
So I don't think she's training him to be a show dog. Like, I've trained my mixed breeds when I was a child. I was in the newspaper a couple of times for winning with my mixed dog. But she said she's training him to be good with kids and people because of this biting incident. But it almost makes me feel like, are you going to give him away? And I'm like, wait a minute, you are going to give him away because you want to live in America and be a mom to a guy to these imaginary kids you're going to have with a guy you've never met.
Why can't you bring H-Dog?
She probably could.
No, so...
Yeah, I don't think she knows, but...
But you're saying she has to give it away.
I think that's the plan, because she's I'm training him to be good with kids and people.
Yeah, she wants to have kids.
Yeah. Mm. She made it sound like, but yeah, she can bring a dog to the U.S. for sure.
She also confirms she was working at a prison, but left so she could move to the States, so she could follow her dreams of moving to the States and living off Joe.
Yeah, I'm becoming a mom.
Yeah, and she's 100% sure she wants to marry Joe and have a family with him.
Yeah, and then we see her mom. We're in her mom's house. She goes there every Sunday because they're besties.
Yep, dinner every Sunday, have no secrets. Mom is not as optimistic about Joe as Magda is.
And the reason why is because she's done this before.
Oy,
not with an American, with a German guy.
Yeah.
But apparently she dated a guy from Germany. She moved to Germany for him just after 3 months of dating. And then she found out he was cheating on her with his ex.
Yeah.
Joe doesn't even know this.
That's kind of the crazy part.
But this seems to be a pattern. I think she is so almost like a hopeless romantic. She just wants to have a guy to love and have a family. And she lives in this fantasy world of like, I just want someone to take care of me and I'll take care of our kids and we love each other forever.
Do you think H-Dog bit that guy in the penis on his own?
I don't know.
Or did Mag the train the dog to do that? Or did was she like, sick him, you know?
Maybe she's like, attack? I don't know.
Attack, maybe?
I really don't know. But because she's so close with her mom, she also told her mom about Joey banging someone 2 months ago, which obviously mom is not happy about. Like, you're planning a future with a guy you've never met. You've been talking to online for only 5 months. After 5 months, for 3 months, he was talking to other girls and he banged someone else. And you're going to drop your life for this dude.
She's going to drop her life for America, it seems like. And maybe Joe will just be there as consolation. But I don't think he's the main prize.
I think she sees him as that because he seems to be making a good living. He travels the world. He probably promised to take care of her. She loves hearing it.
Here's why I don't buy that. Because she's like, I'm 100% on Joe. I'm 100% I want to marry and have a family with him. You've never met him. So to be that sure of something you've never met face to face means, no, you're actually, I think, in love with the idea of America.
I think she wants to go to America, but I also think that she wants to be loved. She wants to have love.
Fair enough. So let's see them together. Magda went to Krakow to pick up Joe. And because it's so far from her city, she rented an apartment for them to stay at for a few days. So she's at the airport waiting for him. And here he comes.
Yeah, she jumps on him, shows us her ass.
Cue the blur guy. It's good that he's getting some work after Jasmine.
Yeah.
It's nice to see that the blur guy still can get a paycheck.
But it's a little awkward to me. She seems so young compared to him.
I don't know that I would classify it as awkward, but they met. They reviewed each other. Oh, yeah, Joe smells better. Like the way he looks. But there was a look in her eye that said, I don't know about you. There was this look in her eye that was like, and it could have been the, you banged someone a couple months ago. I don't fully trust you. But there wasn't love in the eye. I'll say that.
I almost feel like that was him looking at her that way. Because I think he might be used to, I mean, he lives in West Palm. He's probably used to girls with big boobs and makeup and tan and all this. Yeah. And Magda's very pretty, but in the natural way.
Very pretty, yeah.
And she's very young, too. And
very young.
I just realized, and was looking at her, I'm like, oh, yeah, she's 23. She looks 23 and she acts 23.
Fair.
So
let's see. I'm not writing it off just yet, but I say she's more into America than Joe. Joe is infatuated with the sexy foreigner. And let's see, can it be love? It isn't right now, but it may blossom into that.
Let's see.
All right, next up.
My least favorite couple, actually.
It's kind of my least favorite couple.
Yeah, Brian and Ingrid.
I had high hopes for this couple. I was excited in the beginning. And now I'm kind of like, eh, Brian's kind of creepy. I don't know
totally creepy.
I don't know what Ingrid's really doing or after. Hard to read.
Yeah.
So it's the day after Brian met Ingrid's mom. And today they're going to go for a little getaway in Recife.
Yes. So Brian picks her up. He has a toy for Arthur, her son, which is nice of him. A toy from an uncle. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, so they will be flying to Recife Island because Brian, not only he loves it there, he's lived there for a while.
Yes. So they're driving, they're in the car and they're chatting. And Ingrid brings up her ex, which is her son's dad.
Yeah.
Apparently her dad loved her ex.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if it is a father-son love, like there is something they have in common or a connection or a bond, or if it's just like, oh, you're the father to my grandchild, and so that's why I love you. But for some reason, Dad approves of Ingrid's ex and hasn't approved of any other guy she's dated, especially not Brian.
Yeah, I think Brian, there are multiple issues. I think the biggest issue is the fact that he lives in America.
Mm-hmm.
And I think issue number two is that he is basically Dad's age.
Yeah.
And there are other things for sure.
That really hasn't come up. He's 51, she's 33. The age really hasn't come up, but yeah, you're 100% right. I mean, the parents must know he's in his 50s.
Yeah.
That's got to give some pause. But so they're going on this getaway to hopefully see if they can strengthen their bond and have a future. But now there's definitely some pressure on that because Dad does love the ex, right? So can Ingrid and Brian strengthen their bond? And can Dad find love for Brian the way he loves the ex?
Well, Ingrid says, ultimately, it's up to me who I'm going to be with, not up to my parents, which Brian is happy to hear.
Okay, it is up to you, Ingrid, but you're not giving it a fair shot, I would say. Staying in your own hotel room, you're on this bang trip, right?
I think she's still creeped out by him.
I think so too, but you're like waving the carrot in front of his face. Oh yeah, we're going to go on this romantic getaway. We're going to Recife, your favorite city. It's going to be amazing. And I'm going to get my own hotel.
Well, I think she's really trying hard to give him another chance. She's looking for someone who she can be happy with, who's going to be good to her kid, right? So she's trying hard. She's really trying because her ex left her when she was pregnant with the son.
True.
So
isn't that crazy? And Dad still likes him.
Yeah, I know. Hmm. But I think she's still creeped out by Brian and the whole thing. He wanted to go down on her. And so I'm not surprised she wants her own hotel room because not even that. The first night they stay together and he just showed her the pee condom and that was just TMI to begin with. And I think she doesn't want to go through any of that again. Plus, she's 5 hours from home via plane.
True. Was it plane?
Yeah.
I know they were driving and they showed a plane and I was confused.
No. They got on the plane. Okay. It's an island.
True. So next morning, they're going to go for a stroll and a roll because Brian told Ingrid she should rent the bike. And she was like, huh? How are we going to bike? Well, it turns out you can strap your wheelchair to a bike and make your girlfriend do all the work.
Using your belt.
Yeah. Brian was like riding sidecar.
Yes.
To Ingrid's bike and she was pedaling. And
she's
Brian,
liking it. She says, yo, I'm glad he's trying to be normal. Do what other people do. Just be creative about it.
Yeah, finding the solutions for the obstacles.
Yes.
She liked.
So they're biking around and they stop for some fresh coconut, which is something I absolutely, absolutely dislike.
I love coconut water.
I hate coconut water. I love coconut flavored stuff like coconut ice cream like once a year. Or I love coconut milk too. I cannot stand coconut water. It's just weird to me.
All right. I like it. But they're there, they're chatting, and Brian brought up how Ingrid should come to the apartment and spend some time while they're in Recife.
Yes.
He's like, I'm not saying anything's going to happen, but let's give it a chance. We gotta be honest here and see if something is there between us.
And here we go. Ingrid says it's very difficult for her to be with Brian, but she's willing to fight for it because she likes him as a person. So there is no attraction.
Okay, but then actually fight for it. Spend the night with the guy. She's like, oh, I'm going to give it a chance. I'm going to fight. I'm going to do it. It's like, not really. You're going on an all expenses paid vacation, it seems like, and staying in your own hotel and doing your own thing.
If you're not attracted to someone and you know the other person is, and there is a potential of them trying to have sex with you, that's just, the idea is very uncomfortable. So I'm team Ingrid. I think she's trying to talk to him and get to know him and be with him and see if there is something. But because of what happened, like, I think it's good she's staying in her own room.
I think she is so honest she said they were talking about, oh, I'm going to need help in the relationship. Brian's saying this. And she's like, well, everyone needs help. We all need different help sometimes. But I'm not going to be anyone's mother or babysitter. She said that. She's like, I'm not going to be anyone's babysitter. She's so honest that I feel like she would be honest about everything. Oh, I'm not attracted to you. Oh, I don't want to sleep with you. Like, but she hasn't said those things.
Well, because I think she's trying to figure it out on her own. Like, it's not just, oh, I don't like him at all. I really think she got turned off by him because she was willing to have sex with him before.
True.
And what he did
gave
her the ick. So now she doesn't want it. I think there is a level of attraction. I just think she's creeped out by him.
Hmm.
I mean, who I am too.
Yeah, he hasn't done anything universally creepy. Let me say that. He hasn't done anything universally creepy. He's done things that made her uncomfortable. Other women would be like, hell yeah, get in there.
Well, here's another issue. And maybe it's his age, maybe it's his condition. He's rushing things so fast. Telling her all the things that should come out maybe later. To the point that he's like, you know, eventually I'll need a caregiver because I'm going to get older. I'll need someone to bathe me and take care of me. I mean, I'm up for the challenge. She's 33 years old.
And
you're talking a few years from now because of your condition and you are 20 years older.
But also she's not in love yet.
Yeah.
And so when she's like, oh, I'm not going to be anyone's mother. I'm not going to be anyone's babysitter. Understood, because you don't love him. But if you did love him, I'm sure you would do those things.
Yeah.
And so she's saying that as someone who right now is just trying to get to know someone. But if they did fall in love, I'm sure she would do those things.
Yeah, but then you don't need to ask that. You don't need to. The fact that he's like, oh, this is how I pee. Look, I put two condoms on. This is how I pee. This is how I shower. And I need a caregiver because like.
It's too fast.
It is very fast. And I feel like if they ended up being together, those things would happen naturally because that's his life.
Yeah.
And she, if she wants to be with him, knowing his condition, that would just become very normal.
Well,
the fact that he's just putting it all out there, it's like, whoa, we just met.
Right. Here's the reality. He's been married 4 times.
And she doesn't know that.
She doesn't know. But he's been married 4 times.
And engaged like 5 or 6 times.
So there is something going on, and maybe it's what we've seen. Or maybe it's more, but there's something going on that's led to 4 divorces and failed engagements.
And for sure.
So.
And it has nothing to do with the fact that he's on a wheelchair.
Oh, absolutely. No, that's, you know that from day one.
Correct.
So no, it's much more. All right, let's keep going because this next couple is one of my favorites.
Oh yeah, I think it's my favorite.
Vanya and Bojo. Oh boy, where do we begin?
Vanya's calling her cousin Sanella, and Vanya wants to get her perspective on the whole situation with Bojo and the fact that he's not romantically attracted to her.
Yeah, so we met and he got me a plant and then he took me to this cooking class, but then he told me he doesn't feel romantically attracted to me.
What the hell? That's cousin's reaction.
Yeah, Fenella was like, well, he's been FaceTiming you for months. He knows what you look like. Now he says he's not attracted to you, which sort of upsets me a little bit when she says this, because there is physical attraction and then there's being attracted to someone as a person. And it's really easy to hide who you are as a person on FaceTime. So I don't know that he was saying, I'm not physically attracted to you. He's just not like romantically vibing you right now, which are two very different things.
I think she is too high energy for him.
Yeah. Which she could mask on FaceTime. But so I just didn't like when Fennell was like, oh, what? He knows what you look like. It's like, there's more to it than just looks. He's not necessarily turned off by her looks. Literally, the only positive things he's had to say about Vanya to date are physical features.
Yeah, for sure. But Sanella makes a good point. She's wondering if his ex is still in the picture, and that's why.
I love that. She was like, he plays basketball. Like, maybe he has a lot of girls who like him.
He wishes.
He plays pickup ball at the local park. He's not LeBron. Like, I don't think he has hoes in different area codes, Vanilla.
No, he's 5'8 and plays basketball in the park while he's living with his mom because he's unemployed.
Yeah.
He honestly, if Vanya knew this, I think she would prefer traveling around Croatia or whipping out her Tinder once again.
True. Well, she's going to go meet the friends and try to get the lowdown, try to ask some questions and figure some things out.
Yes. So she's getting ready. Borja comes over. You look amazing.
She emptied out her suitcase to rifle through things and figure out what she wants to wear. Legit, 90% of her clothes were pink. It was overwhelming.
I hate it, but...
Red flag, pink flag, all the flags, run Bojo.
Everyone's different. I think she loves pink. That's fine.
Yeah.
No, run Vanya.
You can just run in opposite directions.
The fact that she wears pink has nothing to do with anything. I think if you like her, then sure, she wears pink. It comes with her. She is at least accomplished. She can take care of herself.
She's got hobbies. You can say that.
But she has a house. She has a car. She's got hobbies that make some money. She has a job that makes some money. She takes care of herself. She came to Croatia. Bojo lives with his mom. It's
very true. Very true. But they're Fred and Barney. They're Rocky and Bullwinkle. They're Thelma and Louise. So they go and they meet Bojo's friends.
Well, here's the thing. He said... Online, we clicked like Fred and Barney, but in person, it's different. So he's even saying online, we clicked like friends, but now you don't even feel that.
Yabba dabba don't.
Exactly. It's pretty good.
Thanks. So at the bar, they're all basketball players. These were all variations of Bojo to me. Like you could line them up and it'd be the evolution of Bojo.
No, they all were like better looking and taller. And I'm pretty sure they all have jobs.
But that's what I'm saying. It's the evolution of Bojo. Like it would start at Bojo and then you would line them up and you'd finally get to that tall version of him.
They all looked very different than Bojo.
Ish.
They did. Bojo was like...
They were all like... short hair, dark.
They all look features. European. Yeah. Like Bojo just, I don't find him attractive at all. He's one of the least attractive people.
I think he's somewhat good looking.
I think he's one step above Colt. I'll be that honest.
Yeah.
So I don't know what Vanya sees in him, but that's what I'm saying. She sees something in him. He portrayed himself as this basketball player. If she really knew that he is literally a loser, then I think she would run away willingly.
I think he's better looking than Joe.
Who's Joe?
Florida Joe. Joe and
what?
Magda. Oh, you think Joe is like not fully... developed.
Joe is like Joe is like 100% better looking.
Joe
than
is
Bojo.
Like a boy.
Yeah, but much Bojo better
is
looking.
A man.
Yeah, Bojo is a moron.
I think Joe looks still like, I don't know, like he looks like his high school yearbook photo walking around.
Like I feel like Joe is maybe like a 7, Bojo is like 1.2, and I'm like being very generous.
Bojo is a strong 7.
What?
Joe is a 6.1.
What?
Yeah.
Like Bojo has nothing going for himself. His hair looks awful.
Well, I'm into Europeans. Teresa, I'm into Europeans.
He's ridiculously short. He has no style. He has no job. He lives with his mom.
He's living the dream.
He's trying to be funny, but he's not. He literally has nothing going on for himself.
Joe is just, ugh.
Joe is not bad
real
looking.
Real estate.
Yeah, but he...
Boring.
Listen, he lives on his own. He True. Makes money. He travels the world. And he's not bad looking.
All right.
So...
Agree. Well, we're into different men. Agree, disagree, Teresa.
I don't know how to feel about that.
So they're meeting the friends. And Vanya's like, tell me about girls Bojo's dating. She just goes right for it.
Good.
She's not scared. She's like, tell me about the girls Bojo's dating in the past.
Listen, she put her life on hold for 3 weeks. And this moron is giving her nothing besides saying, let's be friends. So she should ask the friends. And the friends are all much better and way more into her than Bojo.
Okay, well, the friends say Bojo's ex is very similar to Vanya. And Vanya's like, well, I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Like, am I a replacement?
And his friends know what's up because they say, oh, Vanya is way out of his league.
Yeah. I don't agree.
I absolutely agree.
All right. Well, then Bojo's like, well, when I met her, the chemistry, it's been amazing. Like we had something online, but in person, it's even better.
What a liar.
Yeah.
You see, like he's getting worse and worse. And here is why she's out of his league. Take the looks out of the occasion. He's a loser. And friends know it. His friends know that he doesn't have a job, lives with his mom, plays pickup ball, probably not that good at it, eats free ice cream because he chats with everyone. Like, that's why.
Okay. So then Vanya keeps interrogating the friends and asks, well, do you think he's still got feelings for his ex? And is she still in the picture? And Bojo's like, no, absolutely not. And the friends are like, be honest, Bojo.
Well, she's not. And the reason why is because she broke up with him and found someone else, probably someone with a job.
And the way he spins this, he's trying to make it seem like you have nothing to worry about. She broke up with me and found another man. It's like, yeah, that means you're probably still into her. Like you're hurt and are trying to repair things so you feel better about yourself. Not like, oh man, how could she dumb me?
And she definitely broke up with him because, again, she tried again. He now really does not play the basketball, not even for a minor league. He just doesn't play. Plays in the park, lives with a mom. Like, that's not a turn on for someone who's almost 40.
Yeah.
So
the friends are like, you guys have a limited amount of time. Tall Bojo says, lock yourself in a room for the next 24 hours. Really get to know each other. Give this thing a fair shot.
Yeah, like his friends are all on Vanya's side. And it annoys Bojo to the point that he says, I think after tonight, it's better if you spend more time here by yourself. Whoa. And not meeting my mom.
Whoa. I think Bojo felt a little like back against the wall. All the friends were saying, lock yourself in a room. Really get to know her. Immersion therapy. And Bojo's just like, yeah, I think we should go spend some time apart.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous. She just touched down. She flew there to get to know you, to meet you. And he's like, I think we should take some space.
He's a moron. And Vanya storms off.
Yeah.
As she should. And she should take him up on his offer because, girl, you're way better off just firing up the Tinder Croatia and see who else is in Split. Or go out with the tall Bojo.
Yeah. Climb tall Bojo like a tree.
Yeah.
All right. Next, again, thought we were done with them, but
almost done. It's Renee and Chidi. Renee's leaving the hotel.
She has zero self-reflection. Like, she's fired up. She's like, Chidi lied to me, led me on. It's like, look in the mirror, lady.
Yeah.
Take some accountability and responsibility for your batshit craziness.
Yeah, she's like, oh, he treated me so poorly and picked his family over me. It's like, he didn't pick his family over you. You went shit bad crazy and overreacted to his family who were very generous to you. Let you sleep in their bed. Invited you in. So, yeah, she needs a big mirror because then she's like, for me, Chidi's dead and gone. It's like, go back and just stay with your chickens forever.
Yeah, lock yourself in a chicken coop.
Yeah, don't leave New Mexico. Don't leave the farm because no one needs to see you.
She blames two people for the demise of this relationship, and neither of them are her. She blames Chidi and she blames Victoria.
Yeah.
Chidi's sister. It's like, you have no responsibility in this? You did nothing wrong, Renee?
Yeah, she's ridiculous. And in Chidi's house, Chidi's moving on. His sister is just relieved. She's like, she was not good for you. Okay, let's move past this.
And he says, no, it's a done deal. I'm moving on. Even if she reaches out, it's over. So apparently it's over. She's like, I'm blocking Chidi. He says, I will not respond. And then we see Renee back in the States. And she's like, what I'm taking away from this is the love for my kids and my chickens. You can't take that away from me.
Yeah, she's like, I would still rather date an alien or a high-tech monkey. I'm like, okay, that's what you should do. Just like, don't even leave New Mexico. It's, like, you just stay where you are.
It sounded like the end of a documentary. Like, you know, at the end, it's like where they are now.
Yeah.
It's like, Renee now is single, but is still holding on hope for a relationship with an alien or a high-tech monkey. Like, I was like, all right, that's like a surprising turn.
Let's be done with them.
All right.
I think that's why we have Joey and Magda.
I think so, too.
Last but not least, a couple we haven't seen in a little bit, but we've got Lauren and Faith. And of course, Lauren mentions gonorrhea once again.
Lauren
wouldn't
and the
be
leaky.
Lauren without his leaky penis.
Lauren the leaky penis. Yeah. Dressed up for the occasion, Lauren is, because they're going to go meet Faith's family. So quite the wild outfit he is rocking. He's got a paisley patterned purple shirt and a yellow tie looking like some variation of John from Curious George.
I think that's what he wears for his job in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Also, he came with a backpack, so I don't think he brought much.
Yeah. So, okay. This is the first time Faith is bringing a man home, so kind of a big deal for everyone.
Yeah. So, her mom lives with her two sisters and her twin brothers.
Mm-hmm.
So, we get to meet them.
First, Lauren showed up like Paul Bundy. He showed up carrying a stack of wood, which maybe that's like a peace offering or a gesture. Philippines, but I was like, all right, man, you do you.
Mom thinks that he's handsome. Yeah. Oh, mom. Oh, yeah. Mom.
And the sister's very surprised that Faith bagged an American, to use their words.
Yeah. One of her sisters, Bea, or Bea, Bea, it's B-E-A. How do you pronounce it?
B?
B. She's also trans, which is nice to see how open their family is to any lifestyles.
Yeah, her sister is the one that gave Faith the courage to come out and say, yeah, I am also trans.
Yes. So mom prepared some delicious food and they all like dying laughing, just watching Lauren eat. Because I'm like, what are you doing, bro?
They were literally like, look at this. Look at how he's eating. Look at this. This is ridiculous. Yeah, he was eating like an animal. It was out of control.
Like, no manners.
Zero manners. And then he told the cameras, like, didn't love the food. A little bland. But I'm like, huh? Did you see how you were eating that? I think you're lying.
Yeah,
Lauren.
He's like, I was missing some of the Filipino spices. Dude, be happy someone's feeding you for free.
Yeah. So then Faith starts getting interrogated about the relationship. The family wants to know what's going on here. What's the label?
Yeah. So she says, we're just friends.
We want to get to know each other more.
Yeah. Mom is like, Lauren, do you love Faith?
Bold.
And he does.
Bold question. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, she's not a girl. He's like, yeah, I only like trans women. No regular women, no boys, just trans women.
Yes. So they're asking if his parents know about Faith. And this is when we learn that he actually doesn't get along or doesn't talk to his mom because his mom doesn't accept the fact that he dates trans women.
Yes. He doesn't care, though.
Yeah. So he said, I would always choose Faith.
Yeah. So it's nice. Faith's family is accepting of this
relationship. Very charmed by him. And I think it concerns Faith to the point that she's like, I gotta tell my family what's really going on.
I gotta tell them about the leaky penis.
Yes.
So, next day, Lauren is alone. He's crushing some food, as he does. And I feel like he was probably like, anyone else hungry? And then the family thought back to how he ate the night before. And like, you go eat alone, Lauren.
Yeah,
you,
probably.
You go grab some lunch. We're gonna go shopping.
Yeah, so Faith is chatting with Abigail and Bea.
Having some coconut wine. You don't like coconut water. How do you feel about coconut wine?
Give me. I mean, not right now. Give me in
a few months. Sign me up. So, yeah, the sisters want to know, what's the deal? Why are you calling Lauren a friend now? You've been in a relationship so long. Well, tell them, what's going on? Well, do you know about the illness of the whores? What? Did you really say that? Because that's awesome.
Yeah.
Guys, do you ever hear about the illness of the whores? No, I've never heard it put that way.
Well, he has an STD. Oh. He banged other women.
Why didn't you just say so? Yeah. I decided to become friends with him when his penis started leaking.
This is where it gets sad because B says, if a foreigner like Lauren was into me, I would just go for it. It doesn't happen too often for us. Yeah. Abigail would need to think about it, but B says, well, you're not trans.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, B doesn't value herself as much as Faith values herself, which is sad.
Faith should value herself because Lauren's, he's like Bojo. It's like two morons. They should be friends.
Yeah. Well, that's where that segment ends and where the episode ends. And we'll see.
We'll see.
All right.
Good one. Good one.
Teresa, what an episode.
What an episode.
We had it all. Hot Bojo, leaky penis, Poland, everything.
All of it.
All right. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If you guys want to hear our thoughts on The Other Way and the tell-all's coming, join us on Patreon. Join us on Supercast. Patreon.com/MarriedToReality. MarriedToReality.Supercast.com. Of course, it's ad-free. None of that business up front. We got Last Resort coming. All good things. So join us on Patreon and Supercast. Also, follow us on Instagram, @MarriedToRealityPod. Call in. Share your thoughts. We want to know what's going on. Is Bojo hot or not?
Definitely not, but tell us.
All right. And also make sure to follow the podcast wherever you're listening. It's so easy to do. Just look down and smash that follow button.
Guys, smash it like it's as hot
as Bojo?
The end of Chidi and
Renee.
Renee. Because, oof.
Yeah.
Chidi needs to get alive without her because she's nuts.
Yes, agreed. So smash it like as hot as that. And also, guys, Thanksgiving's coming up. Season of being thankful, and we would be thankful if you left us a review. If you leave us a 5-star review and you write something, we'll read it on this podcast right here.
Yes.
All right. That is it. I've said it all. Too much.
Classic.
Too much. All right. It means we'll talk to you guys soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.